Father, Lord, we just want to thank you so much for your word and your watch care over us. All of us, Lord, can attest to how well you take care of us. Lord, I just thank you for the many praises that were offered this morning and the prayer requests, Lord, that we have lifted up to you. Father, I just thank you so much for the ability to be able to give our petitions over to you and to our friends and family, and that we know that they'll be praying for these issues. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you're here with us, and we just love you. And that's all I can say. We just love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we've been trying to finish our chapter on goodness. So we've been talking about how goodness and our last lesson was on gentleness, which is kindness. Goodness goes along with that, but it's kindness in action. Because you can't be kind. You can think kind thoughts and you can attempt to do kind things, but if you never put it into practice, you're not necessarily being so kind. So kindness has to have an action, just like love. You can say the word, but if there's no action behind it, then how well are you showing others that you love them or that you're being kind? And it also means for us to get out of ourselves. It's not about us, and it's not about what we're going to get in return. It's all about doing for others, just like we've been learning in this book the whole time, is looking out for others and doing for others. Okay, so on page 77, we have eyes, ears, hands, feet, and a strong back. So I need some feedback. How, with your eyes, can you show goodness or minister to people with your eyes? Actually paying attention, looking at others and seeing, just like hearing. We hear a lot. You hear, I hear him over there. It's like we hear, but are we listening? Well, seeing, there's two parts to seeing as well. You can visualize things, but are you seeing somebody's countenance? Are you looking at their face? Do you see joy? Do you see sadness? Do you see sorrow? Do you see anger? What are you seeing in someone's face that you can turn around in turn and do something for them?
And what are they seeing in your face?
Exactly.
You know, so often we look at people and away. And
right, but it's like what is showing? Is the love of the Lord showing in your face? Do you, that love, joy, peace, all of the stuff that we've been going through in this book, is it evident in your life and on your face when you talk to, especially the lost? They need to see something that's different in us as opposed to what people can give to them. So look for hurting people. Look out and see if, you know, Lord, give me one person that I can minister to today. And then after that's happened, okay, Lord, I managed to do one. Now can I do two? You know, help me to do more. And so each day we can get a little better. Just like we were talking about listening. Our ears, we hear, but we don't listen all the time. When you're in a conversation with someone, are you really listening to what they're saying? Or you're just standing there nodding your head, but your mind is like, okay, I got to take this off, you know, and you're somewhere else and you're vaguely getting what it is that they're talking to you about.
Or you're thinking about what you're going to say.
Right, and you're already ready with an answer, but you haven't listened to their whole problem. You haven't listened enough to really be able to give them an answer or prayerfully give them an answer. So our ears, we really need to be attuned and listen to what people are trying to say. Our hands, can can you fix something for someone? Can you carry a load for someone? Can you hug someone? Can you reach out and squeeze someone's hand and say, open a door? Let someone go ahead of you in line. Open the door, let someone go in first. Somebody drops something, pick it up. Don't just look at it and go, oh yeah, I didn't drop that. So, but even as simple as you see something on the floor, even in our church, I didn't drop that. So I shouldn't have to pick it up. Why? This is God's church. This belongs to all of us. Whether you did it or not, if you see something that needs to be done, you don't have to ask permission to go and take care of it. If you see something that's broken or something that needs to be replaced, like paper towels or a roll of toilet paper or, you know, whatever in the bathroom, you see that somebody needs some help, or, you know, one of the little kids is in the bathroom and they can't reach the soap, or, you know, just think outside of yourselves. Just look around. There's multiple people in our church that are in different stages of crisis, I should say. There's multiple people in our church that are hurting, that are going through serious things. Take time to just, and if nothing else, pray for them, that the Lord will strengthen them, but that you can help them somehow. Our feet can get us into trouble because they tend to take us places where we shouldn't go, but that all starts with our mind, because we've thought already that, oh well, nobody knows, I can go do this. But help your feet to go out of your way to help someone else. You know, maybe it's time that you took an opportunity and just
you can run an errand for somebody.
Right. Walk.
Go to the store.
You know, you're
somebody else needs me to bring you something.
You know, like if you know you're going to a specific place, and just call somebody and say, I'm on my way to such and such. Can I bring you something? Can I pick up something for you? And it might be a little out of your way then to go and take this to them, but the Lord will bless not only you, but the Lord will bless them for it. So that's kind of been our focus in our book, is others and looking for ways that we can show the fruit of the Spirit, our love, our joy, our peace, our gentleness, goodness. Show those things out to other people. Make a difference in somebody else's lives. Because just knowing about them and keeping them all to ourselves doesn't benefit us, because, you know, of course we're going to be good to ourselves, and we're going to love ourselves, and we're all of these things, giving them to ourselves isn't so helpful. It's when we give them out to someone else that makes a difference. Okay, let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Went the wrong direction. Philippians over here. Corinthians. Philippians, what did I say? 2:3. Ooh, excuse me. Okay, so our question says, would you classify yourself as a selfish or a giving person according to Philippians 2:3? All right, so it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Putting others first. We all, I think, strive to do this. But if we really take an assessment of ourselves, we don't always do such a good job, because we get wrapped up in ourselves and what's going on in our lives, and we tend to stay there instead of looking out at there are other hurting people, you know. And maybe if I'm not so focused on what's going on in my life, I'll see that maybe it's not as bad as I think it is. My life isn't so horrible, because there's always somebody. You can always find somebody that's having a bigger crisis than you think you're in. And I would say we try, for the most part, to be as unselfish as possible. But we're human, and we're sinners saved by grace, and we are going to falter in this regards. But it says, how does this verse say we should see ourselves in relation to others? Who should be first? Other people. So really, in being a servant, who was the servant's heart have to be after? Their master. They had to do everything that they were told, when they were told to do it. It wasn't looking out for themselves. They had to look out for their master's needs and be even aware of them ahead of time. Be right there when something was needed to be done. So being a servant isn't just being like put upon, in a sense. A servant is looking out for ways to please their master. A good servant is looking forward to, and we as servants to the Lord should be doing the same thing. We should be looking out for ways that we can please him, and that's in taking care of the brethren and looking out for, and even verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He was the ultimate servant. He gave his life for us. He was willing to die on the cross for us. And we can't go across the street and, you know, give our neighbors a track and, you know, just some simple things. Just we get so caught up in ourselves that the disciples... And a lot of people, I find that sometimes people are doing good for others, or doing good in a sense, but it's for their recognition. But that's the wrong way to go about it too. If you're just doing good so that somebody says, oh, did you see what she did? Wasn't that wonderful?
You go around bragging.
Right. Oh, look what I did. Or did you see what I did? Did you see what I did? Well, you didn't do it anything for the right reason whatsoever. You know, you're just...
You lose your reward.
And exactly. Yeah. I mean, you, any blessing that you would have got out of serving this person or giving to this person has just been ripped right out from underneath you because you did it for the wrong reasons. Serving the Lord, we can get into after you've been saved for quite a long time, you get into where it's like routine, and it's like, well, of course, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, but is your heart still in it? You know, are you really there with serving? You know, is it a joy still to serve others and to be there for them? I think of pastors, not necessarily just ours, but pastors in general. And it must be such a constant, but the Lord gives them a heart to be a servant. And not everyone that's even called to preach is called to be a pastor, because they have to have a compassionate heart, a servant's heart. They have to have a heart that will overlook all the things that happened to them. They get stepped on and used and abused all the time, but they're still have this servant's heart that is so willing to give of themselves that it just puts us all to shame. But they're the ones that we need to pray for the most, because their servant's heart is getting beat up all the time, as opposed to ours when we try to serve others. Yeah, you know, you might not get any recognition, or you might not even get a thank you, but that's not the point. I'm not doing something for you to acknowledge it even. I'm doing it because it pleases the Lord. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'm forever to chew that for helping. I have them over, feed them.
Right.
I get clothes and things for people. I give them clothes. I have to put Tom at I'm not letting anybody now know where I live.
Right. Exactly.
But, I'll take them. I'll say I'm hungry, I'm cold. I'll get them blankets, pillow, whatever I can take to them, food. Fix the food for the next couple of days, and I'll take it to them.
Right.
I still get chewed out for that.
Right, and some people don't know how to be appreciative.
No, this is for my friends.
Oh, other people are saying, people. Oh, okay.
They say, I shouldn't help anybody, just leave me alone.
Well, yeah, but we can't have that. We
does not tell them what you do.
We teach me to not want people.
Right, and
I can't do that.
And you have to... You have to be trusting, but you have to be
cautious,
wary. You have to be cautious, and you have to be prayed up, and you have to, really rely on the Lord's leading, because not everybody has your best interest at heart. So you have to be careful, especially as women. We have to be careful in the places that we go by ourselves, and... yes, we know that we're doing a good thing. That's why Pastor is always harping on us when we go out on visitation. As women, don't go inside the house. Make sure you can keep visual con. He likes the men to be on the other side of the street. And it's all for our protection. Not that he thinks something's going to happen, but you never know what's going to happen when you knock on someone's door. If they're, you just, yeah, I mean, I don't even want to think of the things that could happen, because then nobody would go anywhere. All right, so let's go to John 13. John 13. We're going to start in verse 14. This is talking about... The question asks, why did Christ wash the disciples' feet? What was the purpose behind this? So in verse 14, yes, 14. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. So, the disciples even were like, Lord, don't, they were kind of taken aback by the fact that, he wanted to do this. In verse 4 is where it starts. He riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest now, not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. There was a purpose behind Jesus' coming to them, and not only to show that he understood their humanity. He was being a servant, and it wasn't beneath him to be a servant. And it showed that they in turn could be servants to each other, which they were going to have to do because once he was gone from the scene, they had nothing else. And once they were saved and came out of the Jewish religion, even their families forsook them because they said they walked away from the faith. So they had to learn how to be able to serve each other and other people. And so the Lord's showing them, and it's what the servants did when you went to someone's home, because they had sandals, it was all dirt, they were everywhere they walked, they came in, their feet were dirty. So the servants were like positioned when you came into someone's house, especially if they had any kind of money and had servants and stuff. There was somebody right there to take your sandals, wash your feet, and then you could proceed on into the rest of the house. So it wasn't something that they were unfamiliar with that he did for them. He was just showing them, I can serve you in this way, and it takes nothing away from who I am, where we can serve just as well. It's not making us lower than someone if we choose to serve them and to be a servant to them. It's actually a very high calling to be a servant in that regard. So he was just trying to... But at first they were all like, what are you doing? I can imagine, you know, it's like they know who he is. They know he's the Christ. He's the Messiah. And now he's kneeling at their feet and taking their dirty feet and washing them. And
I was watching something on TV yesterday about the disciples, but especially about
Peter,
because he was the Lord's confidant.
Right.
And he always... I think the Lord confused him a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was, he was... We look at the disciples a lot of times and we think that they were all poor, poor people.
No.
But they weren't poor people. And Simon Peter would have had to have servants. So I think...
Probably.
The Lord did that to show him what humility looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had never been humble enough to wash anybody's feet.
Right. I mean, and, you know, the Bible says they were unlearned fishermen. Well, but they had their own boats. They had their own nets. They had their own equipment. Poor people didn't have that. They fished somebody else's boat, you know. So Peter and James and John, they weren't, I mean, Zebedee had his own fishing boats. And the boys were, so they may not have had a lot of education, but they weren't poverty stricken either when Jesus called them. So having servants was kind of, if you were at a certain level and you had a certain amount of money, everybody had servants. It wasn't just for the king in the palace that had servants, because that was some people, that was the only way that they earned any money was, or could have even a roof over their head, was to go into, you know, being a servant. And so, yes, that's a good point. The Lord humbled himself to enough to do this for them, but he was showing that to the disciples that, you know, you can do this for each other. So then let's turn the page on 18. It says, do you like the idea of being called a servant?
Not always.
Well, it all depends on how some. Exactly. How it's taken and how it's.
How it's presented.
How it's presented, exactly. How somebody calls you a servant, you know. It can.
You call it caregiver.
Right. I mean, being a servant has good and bad connotations. You know, it's not all it's, you know, over throughout history, it hasn't been the, you know, the nicest of words to be a servant. But if we're being a servant for the Lord, it makes all the difference, because who better to serve than Him? When a person serves day after day with a self-sacrificing spirit, I cannot talk today, with a self-sacrificing spirit, I can't read or talk, oh, goodness, and receives no thanks or reward for it, how do we know this service does not go unnoticed by the Lord? Well, we have our answer in Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 21. Okay, so we taught, this is coming at the end of the talents, where they were given talents and they had to do something with them while the master was gone. And at the end, in verse 21, his Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Just as the master who was gone gave the talents to his servants, and then they presented them to him when he came back, he knew that they had done a good job because of what they gave him back. Well, our Lord sees not only our heart, but He sees our service. He sees us, and He is going to reward us because of what we've done. But the reward will come if our heart is right. If we're serving because I have to, your heart's not in the right place. All right, I'll do that, but I don't really care. I don't really want to. And, oh, well, I guess I'll go over there and take her there somewhere. You know, I might as well go get it over with. That's kind of not the right attitude to have. But, Lord, thank you that I get to be a servant today. Lord, thank you that you press upon my heart to give this to someone or do this for someone. Be thankful that you got an opportunity, that you're able to serve. Because there are some people that want to serve, and they can't. They can't. They don't have the means to. They don't have a way to. They don't. They have to rely on other people to take them places, to go places. So it's kind of hard. But they can serve in other ways. They can serve. Being a servant, you can pray. That's a big thing in, you know, in helping someone else. So, at the end of our little thing here, it says, goodness is an investment you can be sure will never fail. And we're not saved by our good works, but we are saved to do good works. It's not a reason why. It's a reason why not. It's, thank you. So it's something that we should choose to do because we love the Lord. It's not a have to, it's a want to. If your attitude is a want to and not a have to, that goes a long way in how well you serve others and you look out for them and you know, and sometimes even listening to what other people say can give you a glimpse into how to serve someone else. You may not even necessarily be involved in the conversation, but you hear something that, you know, somebody's talking about that, and you like, I can help them. I can minister to them. And you could even do, I mean, you can minister anonymously if you really want to, by bringing something and putting somebody's name on it and leaving it set in the foyer over there. Nobody even has to know that it came from you. It's just, you know, if you feel like someone needs a little bit of cash or you don't want to just give it to them, put it in an envelope, put their name on it, throw it in the offering plate. It'll get to them. I know, I remember the first time that we got a love offering. My husband was so upset. He was. I mean, we'd only been saved a few months. But we and the pastor was, he was like livid almost. He was just like, what do you mean you don't, I can take care of my family. I don't need, and you know, he's going on and on and on. And pastor finally says, why do you want to rob someone of a blessing? And it just stopped him in his tracks. He wasn't thinking of it as the reason why someone gave this to us. You know, they saw a need. The Lord prompted them to do something for us. And because our feelings got hurt, you know, we're going to rob them of a blessing. And after that, it was like, okay, all right, I understand. You know, but sometimes it, especially when it's the first time that anything like that's ever, you know, happened to you, it's like, why do they feel like, wait a minute. And you go through this, you know, regular mentality that you think of that, you know, why is that a good thing that someone's giving me money?
You read things into it.
Right. And
you
yeah,
don't know or yeah, you know, have no reason to think, really. But so right, you go, well, they must think I can't take care of my family. What the heck is going
you,
on?
You know, yeah. And especially as a man, you know, it's like, and the pastor came to him and gave him the envelope. And it was just like, what do you mean people are giving me money? You know, and
he didn't want to think that that was the perception that he was giving everybody.
Exactly. That,
you know, and that is a man.
And you know, and so the pastor just, you know.
Yeah. This is true. As women, we feel like we're not sufficient in what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Somebody thought we weren't doing right.
You know? Right, but that has nothing to do with it. You know, it's
I said, well, we just said men. That's men, but it's not just men.
It's not just men. Too. No, and it's all, and a lot of it is all in how it's presented. It's all in how it's, how you are coming across. If you're giving something to someone, here, I made this for you, just to be a blessing. If you say it that way, how can somebody take offense to, or, I knew you needed this, you know, that kind of, you know, not, why did you think I needed this, you know. It's all in how you're looking at someone. It's all in how you say things. It's all in how, you know, so it's like a lot of thought has to go into.
But I know when I first got sick and people wanted mm-hmm. to do things for help me,
right,
it took a long time, a lot of talking for me to be able to just say thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say, that's okay, I'm okay, I can do this.
Right.
It took a long time for me to just go, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. And that's all you have to say. You always thought you had to say more. You had to do something.